for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. For to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day, ye better men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger, and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, he dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, and watching unto prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there.
Good to see you this evening. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, thank you for the folks that made decisions this morning. I pray, Lord, now that you meet with us tonight, give Brother Nichols your power as he preaches, be with the singer and the special. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, you can be seated, and we're going to sing Set My Soul Afire, Lord.
Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me, let your voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day and hour. I will be your witness, fill me with thy power. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving. Waiting for thy word, set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire, set my soul afire, Lord, for the lost in sin. Give to me a passion as I seek to win. Help me not to falter, never let me fail. Fill me with thy spirit, let thy will prevail. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Set my soul afire, Lord, in my far too long I've wandered in this day of strife. Nothing else will matter but to live for thee. I will be your witness as you live in me. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire.
All right. Brother Mike, did both those fellows get saved this morning? Okay. And did we have any saved in children's church? Okay. So none in children's church, but we did have two saved in here. That's a blessing. Pray for those young men. They, as you can tell, they haven't been in church. That's not their normal place for a Sunday, but they finally did listen in Sunday school. They started a little rowdy and then settled down. And then I'm glad they listened and behaved during church. But again, sometimes we bring kids in, and they'll be honest with you, they're not used to anyone telling them what to do. Right. Someone tells them what to do, they don't understand. By the way, with us, we really mean it. We're not just saying it just to be saying it. But most of these kids, their whole life, they've never had anyone mean what they said. I mean, they can basically do whatever they please, as long as they don't end up in jail. And sometimes they even end up in jail. So pray for the two young, there was, I think, three visitors from that bus right this morning, teenagers. Pray for them. Two of them made the professions of faith, so pray for them. Don't forget, mention praying. Don't forget, I always pray for Brother and Mrs. Nichols. The Marinos have not been feeling well the last few days. I didn't realize Rebecca hadn't, but also pray for her. Pray for Dina. She has not been well. She was feeling sick the end of last week and went home Friday early, not feeling well. Brother Lowry with his eye, Mrs. Block with stomach issues, and then the Suttmeyers and the Wins as they're recovering from Corona. So keep them in prayer. And I meant to mention this morning, my problem is if I don't write stuff down, I don't remember it. Mrs. Price is having surgery. Most of you that are on the prayer chain know she had an infection in two different toes, one on each foot. They were waiting to see. They put her on a bunch of strong antibiotics and was hoping that they had thought that the infection had gotten into the bone, and it had. So they're going to have to go in tomorrow and take one. I don't know how much of the toe they're going to have to take off. That's what they were trying to decide. They took a test last week to see how far into the bone it had gotten. So they're going to have to take off. I believe it's a toe next to the big toe. So pray for her. She has surgery tomorrow scheduled at 9. So pray for Mrs. Price. The regular stuff going on this week means Wednesday night, 7:30 for prayer and Bible study. Thursday night, soul winning, 6:45. Friday, we'll have the youth activity. We'll leave here at 6. Now, if you're meeting at Texas Baptist, we'll get there about 6:30 if you're going from your place. But we'll be back about between 9:30 and 10. We, as usual, are obligated to take the drinks. So if you can bring a 6-pack or 12-pack of soda per family or some water, we'll take the drinks on ice, and then they'll provide some other some snacks. They usually have tacos or burritos or something for us to eat. But we'll be at Texas Baptist on Friday playing volleyball. Now, again, you don't have to be – typically we play everyone big enough that can hit the ball, all the way up to the old folks who – may not be able to hit the ball, but just like to play. And so, they don't have a lot of bodies that come. And a couple of times we haven't had a lot of bodies, but we'll just choose up teams and play. So if you like to play volleyball, or even if you don't, you just like to fellowship, come along and we'll put you out there and let you play some volleyball. But that will be 6 to 9:30 or 10. And that will, because of the fact that I scheduled something on PTA meeting night, PTA meeting will be the following Monday, the 25th, at 7 o'clock here at the church or at the school. We need boxes of Little Debbie snacks, Little Debbie cakes. Some of you know what those are. Is there any certain flavor, or do you care? Where'd Stella go? Stella's not here, so I guess it doesn't matter as long as they're Little Debbie. I think Little Debbie has a bunch of different flavors and types, but they need 8 boxes of Little Debbie snacks. So when you raise up your finger, it is for a box of Debbie snacks, Little Debbie snacks. So we need, there's 4 and 4. Thank you, ladies. And for those of you that are volunteering, if you want to bring some and put them in, they'll use those as well. I mentioned this morning, and this is a blessing to appreciate the guys in the print room doing this for us, but they have made up some Bible reading charts. It's always nice to have something to keep track of. Again, the one I mentioned this morning, it is laid out in such a way that you read 6 chapters a day. This is Brother Garraway's program that he had. Read 6 chapters a day in the year. You'll cover the Old Testament twice, the New Testament 4 times, Psalms 4 times, and the book of Proverbs 12 times. So you'll read Proverbs every month. You'll read Psalms four times, Old Testament twice, and I believe the New Testament twice, or four times. So again, a lot of time through the Bible. Again, I remember constantly Brother Vineyard made it very clear to us in Bible college that either the sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. And again, reading the Word of God, very important for all of us. Doesn't matter what age we are, we still need to be reading the Bible. So then I put some of the few that copies if I had, and I'll be making us more. The few copies I had of these are on the back table. Then there's some of these that we passed out in the past that just have, again, where you can just read as many chapters you want and mark them off when you read them. They're back there as well. So make yourself available to those. And if you need extras, you're welcome to take extras. Tonight, if you would just take as many as you need, then Wednesday night when we have some more printed off, you can take some for the family or friends or anyone else that's not even here but might use one. But again, try to read the Bible through in the year. That would be a big blessing to you and to others. Mr. AI, are you around here somewhere and I'm not seeing you? Anyone with a microphone? Sometimes it's Stephen that has it. So, all right, well, you'll just have to talk loud then. Anyone over here with a blessing? Sean. Yeah, we had, now don't tell anyone because we don't want to go to jail, but we had, Kurt brought some of those fire rings, and we started a couple fires back here in the back and roasted hot dogs and had hot dogs, and then they had some s'mores. I'm not a big s'more maker. I don't necessarily eat that much chocolate, but we roasted marshmallows, stuck them in graham crackers, and then put some of that milk chocolate. Even had some dark chocolate for folks that wanted dark chocolate, but they made s'mores. My mom, it reminded me of my mother when we did it, because my mom loved the outside. She didn't care as much for the inside. She'd pull the outside off, eat it first, and then she'd pull the rest of it off, but she loved roasted marshmallows. How many of you have never had a roasted marshmallow in your whole life? Never had a roasted marshmallow? Well, good. I'm glad you guys have made it in life. You don't want to miss out on that. But we had that, and then we sat around and sang for about 20, 25 minutes, sang a bunch of choruses and things like that. And then we had the Word of God, so we enjoyed ourselves and had a good time. All right, so we do have a man with a microphone. Come on down this way, Slick. You're a lot better looking than the other kid. Good to have you. All right, anyone in this section with a blessing? Right there to the Castile. Swing in there and catch him. Thank you, Charlie.
I just wanted to say that this morning, Jose, is that your name, Josue?
Yes.
His blessing was such a blessing to me, because it's encouraging to know that God is still changing lives, and it just helps us to keep on doing the work when we see that.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for good Christian music. These songs tonight, they've been a blessing.
Good. Anyone else in this? Oh, swing over to Levi. We'll see if he can remember what he has.
I get to have a house.
Thankfully has a house. Well, that is a good thing to have to be thankful for. He lives out in the country now, so we're going to try to make him a country boy. So we'll see. Anyone else in this section before we leave you? Mrs. Cools?
I'm just thankful for the Word of God that we have, and that we have printing presses, which they didn't have hundreds of years ago or 1,000 years ago, but that we can have the Word printed and we can give it out to the glory of God.
Can you imagine when people used to have to sit down and handwrite the whole Bible? I used to, when I learned, as a kid, I didn't even think about it, but then someone, when I got a little older, someone said that's how the only way they made copies, and I thought, you talk about a lot. Our kids complain in school when they have to do some writing about their hand hurting. I can't imagine folks who wrote for 8 or 10 or 12 hours a day and just wrote and wrote and wrote so they could have a copy of the Bible. I don't know if I missed anyone over here. Anyone over here if we head this way? Anyone else with a blessing? All right. Anyone in this section with a blessing? Anyone with Brother Mitchell?
Yeah, this afternoon when we was at the booth, I got a chance to buy a funnel, which I needed, and I got a chance to talk to the lady in DO7, and her father is a preacher, and she knew nothing about the Lord Jesus. She knew nothing about the Bible. She knew nothing about the sacrifice. She knew nothing about the resurrection. I got a chance to give her some tracts and things like that and, you know, encourage her to read John chapter 1 and John chapter 3, so, you know. Hallelujah. May God's word do a work. Amen.
Yeah. I told one of our young ladies was taking a soul winning class in school, and she had to witness to somebody. They didn't get saved. And I told her, I said, well, if you know your Bible very well, the Bible says that some people sow, other people water, and then someone else reaps the increase. And I also told her to make sure we always do this. Anytime you're out soul winning, make sure you give a track. Then also make sure you give as much scripture as possible. Your words and my words are not very powerful. But the Word of God is very powerful. It makes it where folks can't sleep. It makes it where folks remember stuff and think about stuff and gives the Holy Spirit a chance to work on people. Anyone else in this section? All right, Brother Jose.
I'm just thankful to God for this congregation of believers that we can all be gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ. And glory to God that this church is still open. I pray that it remains open throughout this next 4 years.
Amen. All right, anyone in the last section? Last folks to get a chance to give us a blessing. Anyone over here? All right, thank you, young man. Appreciate it.
All right, let's all stand. We're going to sing The Fight Is On.
The fight is on. The trumpet sound is ringing out. The cry to arms is heard afar and near. The Lord of hosts is marching on to victory. The triumph of the Christ will soon appear. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array. The armor gleaming, the colors streaming, the right and wrong engaged today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in His might hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last. The fight is on. Arouse your soldiers, brave and true. Jehovah leads, and victory will assure. Go buckle on the armor God has given you, and in His strength unto the end endure. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array. With armor gleaming, colors streaming, the right and wrong engaged today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in His might hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last. The Lord is leading on to certain victory. The bow of promise spans the eastern sky. His glorious name in every land shall honored be. The horn will break, the dawn of peace is nigh. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array. With armor gleaming, colors streaming, the right and wrong engaged today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in His might hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your blessings and the privilege of being back in Your house tonight. Bless this offering, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, and we're going to sing Our Best. Jesus asked us to give Him our best. He gave all He had. So He asked us to give our best.
Hear ye the Master's call. Give me Thy best, for be it great or small, that is his test. Do then the best you can, not for reward, not for the praise of man, but for the Lord. Every work for Jesus will be blessed. But he has from everyone his best. Our talents may be few, these may be small, but unto him is due our best, our all. Wait for the men. Heed not this life, winning the smile of God brings its delight. Hating the good and true, there goes unblessed. All that we think or do, be it the best. Every work for Jesus will be blessed. But he asks from everyone his best. Our talents may be few, these may be small, but unto him is due our best, our all. Night soon comes on apace, day hastens by. Work man and work must face testings on high. Oh, may we in that day find rest, sweet rest, which God has promised those who do their best. Every work for Jesus will be blessed, but he has from everyone his best. Our talents may be few, these may be small, but unto him is due our best, our all.
Read by a doormat today that said, I'm a guitar player and I have my favorite pick inside this house. This is my favorite pick.
Trying to get brownie points.
If we could see beyond today as God can see, if all the clouds should roll away, the shadows flee, or present griefs, we would not fret. Each sorrow we would soon forget, for many joys are waiting yet for you and me. If we could know beyond today, as God doth know, why dearest treasures pass away, and tears must flow, and why the darkness leads to light, why dreary days that God in love a veil doth throw across our way. We cannot see what lies before, and so we cling to Him the more. He leaves us till this life is o'er. Trust and obey. He leads us till this life is o'er. Trust and obey.
Forgot to mention Brother Wallace's mom, so keep her in prayer as well. She recovers from pneumonia. And you young men that have only been married a few years, if you want to make it 30 or 40 or 50, you have to learn how to do what he just did. Earn a few brownie points from time to time. It comes in real handy for when you do something stupid, you have a little in your favor.
Thank you. Hello. Joshua chapter 1 tonight. Joshua chapter 1. And we'll read the first 9 verses, and with special attention to verse 8. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8 again, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There's the only place in the English Bible that the word success is found in that verse. And he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I'm going to speak to you for a bit tonight on the subject Bible meditation. Now, Father, help us as we endeavor to preach your word, to do so in the power, fervor, and unction of the Holy Spirit. Bless the word, I pray, to the hearts of your people. If anyone is with us tonight who has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I pray that you'll draw them to Him and that they'll receive Him tonight and be saved. Please bless now and help in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most important men in all of the Bible, and one of the men who had one of the most difficult jobs of any man in history, is the man of whom we read in our text, a man by the name of Joshua. Now, think of what Joshua's task consisted of. He had to step in and fill the shoes of the man that many consider to be the greatest man who ever lived, apart from Jesus Christ, and that is Moses. Moses had been the leader of the people of Israel for 40 years. He had taken the nation from being a group of slaves in the land of Egypt. By the miraculous power of God, he had delivered them out of slavery. He had forged them into a nation. He had given them their law, their priestly code, their tabernacle and the instructions for that. He had received all of that from the Lord and given it to the people of Israel. He had taken them to the very border of the promised land. And then by the appointment of God, he had gone up Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah and he had died. We can only imagine how the nation felt to have Moses, who had been the only leader they had ever known, lose his life. It's a very traumatic thing to a people when their leader dies, even if he's a bad leader. In early March, I think March the 5th, 1953, Joe Stalin died. Now, Joe Stalin had been the head of the Soviet Union from the time his predecessor Lenin had died in 1924 until he died in 1953. Stalin was one of the most evil and cruel tyrants in the history of the world. He was one of the greatest mass murderers of the 20th century. In fact, he may be the greatest mass murderer of the 20th century, but probably he's second behind Mao Zedong. But he was an evil, cruel tyrant. Even though he was responsible for the deaths of as many as 70 million Soviet citizens, yet when he died, a man as evil as him, when he died, the people in Soviet Russia, many of them went into almost a panic from having lost this man. Now, if people were that traumatized by the death of a leader as evil and cruel as Stalin, we can only imagine how the people of Israel felt to lose a leader as good and as godly and as holy as Moses was. And then put yourself in Joshua's shoes. This nation is traumatized from having lost the only leader that they've ever known, and some say the greatest leader in history. And God comes to Joshua and says, Joshua, you're going to be the one to replace Moses. Now, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but had I been Joshua, I think I'd have said, Lord, I wish you'd find somebody else. I mean, whether you realize it or not, it is a very difficult task to step in behind somebody like Moses and take over. Young preachers, when I was a young preacher, I was one of those once, but young preachers a lot of times like to think that maybe some well-known church in the country, when the pastor resigns or dies or whatever happens, maybe they'll call him. And, of course, it's a dream that is like the dreams spoken of in Isaiah chapter 29 that ain't going to come true. But I can't imagine why anybody would want to do that. I mean, good night. Can you imagine having to step in behind somebody like Tom Malone or Dr. Lee Robertson when he resigned that great church that he pastored for over 40 years in Chattanooga, the Highland Park Baptist Church? When he was there, They had an attendance in the neighborhood of 10,000. Were winning people to Christ all over town, all over the world, really, through their missions program, baptizing hundreds of people every year. That church is not even in existence anymore. The First Baptist Church of Hammond, Dr. Hiles, when he passed away and went to heaven, the fellow that stepped in behind him, well, he's in prison now. And so I'm simply saying it's extremely difficult to step into a leadership position behind someone who was a great and successful man and be asked to fill his shoes. And yet this is exactly the situation that Joshua is in here in Joshua chapter 1. God says, Joshua, Moses is dead. Now you take over and lead this people for me. And so we can only imagine the emotions that Joshua experienced. I mean, can you imagine the trepidation, the worry, the anxiety, the nervousness, the fear of failure that must have been in his heart and mind? So God, knowing this range of emotions that Joshua is experiencing, gives him promises and encouragement and comfort in our text passage in Joshua chapter 1. In the midst of God's promises, he gives Joshua a guarantee of prosperity and of success if Joshua will follow the pattern that God lays down in these verses. Now, notice again in the only verse in the English Bible which uses the word success, what God gives to Joshua as the formula for prosperity and success in verse 8. This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now notice that prosperity and success in the eyes of God hinge on obedience, but obedience hinges on meditation, according to this verse. The same basic formula for success is set forth in Psalm number 1. If you'd like to look at the first three verses of that psalm, Psalm number 1, verses 1 through 3, gives essentially the same formula for success. Though it doesn't use the word success, it gives the same formula, essentially. Psalm number 1, sorry to disturb you while you're talking there. I don't mean to interrupt you. Psalm number 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so prosperity, again, in the eyes of God, hinges on meditation. Now, I'd say that if success and prosperity hinge on meditation, it's therefore something that's important and something that we do well to learn something about. So because of the importance that the Bible places on this matter of meditation, I'm going to try to explain a few things about it tonight. So let's consider, first of all, the meaning of meditation. Now, really, this is where it begins, and once you know this, pretty much the rest of it will fall into place. But the meaning of meditation. If this matter of meditation is so important, as the Bible indicates that it is, it's therefore incumbent upon us to find out what the Bible means by meditation. Now, first, let me tell you what it's not. Bible meditation is not what most people think of when they think of meditation. Do any of you remember back in the 1970s when the old TV show called Kung Fu came on? You remember the lead, the the guy that practiced all the kung fu, after he gave a peroration on peace, then he'd kick the guy's teeth out. You know, well, David Carradine's the actor's name, but the character's name in the TV show was Kwai Shang Kane. Now, Kwai Shang Kane was a meditator, among other things. And the way he meditated, this is what most people think of when they think of meditation. A guy sitting with his legs crossed, and I would illustrate it for you, but I can't get down and cross my legs anymore. People think of a guy with his legs crossed, his thumb and fingers pressed together like that, emptying his mind as he says, Om, Om. And so that's what people think of as meditation, but that's not what the Bible is talking about. In fact, that kind of meditation is rooted in Hinduism and Buddhism and other pagan Eastern religions. And let me just point out a couple of things. Most of us can't afford to empty our minds any more than they already are, or we won't have anything in there at all. And then, secondly, anytime you empty your mind, whether it be through Eastern meditation or through hypnotism or whatever it is a dangerous thing because it opens the door for the devil and the demons to come in and take over the control panel of your mind. You know, the old people, the sayings they used to have, one of them was, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Well, the old people knew something about what they were talking about. And so if meditation doesn't mean what the Buddhists and the Hindus say it means, then what does the Bible mean when it tells us to meditate? Well, really, all it means is to focus your attention on something and think it over, mull it over in your mind. Let me try to illustrate it by defining some Bible words and so forth. There are two Old Testament words or derivatives of these words that are translated meditate in our English Old Testament, and they have the same idea. The first word is a word that means to murmur, and the idea is that you're thinking about something so intensely that you're murmuring to yourself about it. The other word is a word that means to ponder or to commune with oneself. You're thinking about something and talking it over with yourself. Psalm number 4 in verse 4 says, commune with your own heart. My wife, a lot of times I'll hear her mumbling, and I'll say, what? She'll say, nothing. And now I'm really put out because not only is she saying something, but she won't tell me what it is. And finally, I keep asking what she's saying. Finally, she'll say, I'm just talking to myself. Well, she has something on her mind, and she's concentrating on it and talking it over with herself. That's the idea that the Bible has when it speaks of meditation. Preparing a sermon, I a lot of times will walk back and forth and talk my way through it. I don't understand people that get up in the pulpit and haven't thought their way through what they're going to say. I mean, it's as though they expect God to strike them with a bolt of lightning and pour it into their head while they're standing behind the pulpit. I've told people before that were standing up here on the platform when I stood up here and looked like they were studying. So I told them, if you ain't got it now, it's too late. Now, there's another Old Testament word which means exactly the same as meditation. In fact, it's the same Hebrew word, just translated with a different English word. And that's the word muse, M-U-S-E, muse. Psalm 39 and verse 3, David said, while I was musing, the fire burned. While he was meditating, while he was musing. Psalm 143 in verse 5, I muse on the work of thy hands. I meditate on the work of God's hands. So then, to meditate and to muse, again, this helps us to get an idea of what God has in mind when he uses the word meditation. Okay, now follow me here. If you study the etymology of words, what you'll find is that many words are given the opposite meaning by the addition or subtraction of the letter A. For example, the word atheist. You know what an atheist is. An atheist is one who believes that there's no God. Okay, remove the A from the front of that word, and the word becomes theist. Now, theist, the meaning for that is just the opposite. Whereas atheist is one who believes there's no God, theist is one who believes that there is a God. I'm a theist, and so are you, I guess. And so, now this concept applies to the word muse. We don't use the word muse a great deal, but we do use the word which means the opposite, that is, put an A on the front of it, and it becomes a muse. And we have, we have amusement parks. We might see something and say that was amusing. We use that word all the time. Well, to amuse is to divert one's attention or to take one's mind off something. A fellow's working, giving his full attention and concentration to something, his mind gets tired, so he needs some amusement, something to divert his attention or to take his mind off what he's doing for a moment. So to amuse is to divert the attention or to take the mind off something. Take the A off that word, it becomes muse. To muse is just the opposite. It means to focus the attention and to concentrate the mind on something. And muse and meditate are the same words again. To meditate is to focus your mind on something and think it over. The New Testament word for meditate in the only command in the New Testament in 1 Timothy 4:15 is a word which has the idea of revolving something in your mind. Again, same idea as what we've been talking about, to mull something over, to toss it around in your mind, to think it over. I was in a question-answer session one time that Brother Hiles was taking fielding questions and answering them, and so a preacher friend of mine stood up and said, Dr. Hiles, where do you get the all of the ideas that you constantly come up with for themes for promotions and campaigns and all of that? Brother Hiles said, well, he said, it comes from something that I can tell by looking at you is going to be very difficult for you. It's a thing called thinking. And but he said, I promise you this, if you'll give 1 hour a week to just sit down and do nothing but write down ideas that you have for promote, you'll have more than you can use. Thinking. So then, to meditate or muse is to focus one's mind and attention on something and think it over, mull it over, revolve it in your mind. This is what the Bible means when it tells us to meditate, and God tells us that our success in His eyes hinges on obedience to His Word, but that hinges on meditation. Now, I got to hurry up and quit here. Secondly, the focus of meditation. We've seen that we're supposed to meditate. We're supposed to focus our mind and attention on a subject and think it over. Next question is, what are we supposed to meditate on? Well, the Bible specifies three subjects on which we're to meditate, and these three go hand in hand. Number one, I should meditate on the person of God, who God is. Psalm 63 and verse 6, the psalmist said to the Lord, I meditate on thee in the night watches. He meditated on God himself, the person of God. Psalm 104, verse 34, my meditation of him, of God, shall be sweet. So we're supposed to meditate on the person of God. Take some time and think about, mull over in our minds, God himself. Just take some time and focus our minds on God. Think about his greatness and his power and his wisdom and his love and his mercy and his holiness and his righteousness. I'm talking about meditating on the person of God. Now, in order to do that, you have to know what God's like, and you find that out from the Bible. So, we should meditate on the person of God. Secondly, we should meditate on the works of God, what God has done. Psalm 77, verse 12, I will meditate also of all thy work. Psalm 143, verse 5, I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. It'd be good for us to some night look up in the nighttime sky at the stars and at the moon and spend a while meditating on the fact that our God created that. Meditate on God's work of creation. Meditate on God's work of preservation. Meditate on God's work of providence. Meditate on God's work of redemption. And then thirdly, by far the most often, we should meditate on the Word of God. That is, what God has said. I'm going to just throw out verses now, the address of them. All of these verses tell us that we should meditate on God's word. Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1:2, Psalm 119 verse 15, Psalm 119 verse 23, Psalm 119 verse 48, Psalm 119 verse 78, Psalm 119 verse 97, Psalm 119 verse 99, Psalm 119 verse 148, 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 15. All of these verses tell us that we should meditate on the Word of God. You know, I used to memorize Scripture back when I was a young Christian, and what I would do, what worked for me, I would get a 3x5 card. On one side, I'd write the address, you know, John 3:16 or whatever. On the other side, I would handwrite in longhand what the verse said. And then I'd put it in my pocket, and all through the day, I would take that thing out of my pocket every time I had a minute or whatnot. I'd read the address, and then I'd read what the verse said and think about it for a while. Now, by the end of the day, usually I would have read it enough that I would have it memorized just from having read it often enough. You see what I'm saying? But spend some time in the Word of God and think about what it says. Say, what does this mean? How does it apply to me? Who was it talking to? How can I use it to serve the Lord? And that kind of thing. Thirdly, the blessings of meditation. Number one, stirs God's fire in your soul. We saw it in Psalm 39, verse 3 earlier. He said, while I was musing, the fire burned. He meditated, God's fire was stirred in his soul. Number two, soul satisfaction. In Psalm number 63, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says this. Psalm 63, verses 5 and 6, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. So, soul satisfaction. Thirdly, obedience. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Obedience. And fourthly, success. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I'm going to read you something. This came from George Mueller's autobiography. You know who George Mueller was, most of you, I think. Had the orphan homes in England and supplied the needs of ultimately several thousand orphans. Without and never asked a human being for anything. Not only didn't ask, wouldn't even let him know what his needs were, because he wanted what he was doing to be something that would prove that the God of the Bible still operated like the God of the Bible did in answer to prayer. And so he did. But here's something he said that I thought was interesting. The most important thing I had to do was to read the Word of God and to meditate on it. Thus my heart might be comforted, encouraged, warned, reproved, and instructed. Now he's talking about when he got out of bed. He said, formerly when I rose, I began to pray as soon as possible, but I often spent a quarter of an hour to an hour on my knees struggling to pray while my mind wandered. Now I rarely have this problem. As my heart is nourished by the truth of the Word, I'm brought into true fellowship with God. I speak to my Father and to my friend, although I am unworthy, about the things that He has brought before me in His precious Word. It often astonishes me that I did not see the importance of meditation upon Scripture earlier in my Christian life. As the outward man is not fit for work for any length of time unless he eats, so it is with the inner man. What is the food for the inner man? Not prayer, but the Word of God. Not the simple reading of the Word of God so that it only passes through our minds just as water runs through a pipe. No, we must consider what we read, ponder over it, and apply it to our hearts. When we pray, we speak to God. This exercise of the soul can be best performed after the inner man has been nourished by meditation on the Word of God. Through His Word, our Father speaks to us, encourages us, comforts us, instructs us, humbles us, and reproves us. We may profitably meditate with God's blessing, although we're spiritually weak. The weaker we are, the more meditation we need to strengthen our inner man. Meditation on God's Word has given me the help and the strength to pass peacefully through deep trials. What a difference there is when the soul is refreshed in fellowship with God early in the morning. Without spiritual preparation, the service, the trials, and the temptations of the day can be overwhelming. And so George Mueller found the help and the comfort and the encouragement that he needed by way of meditation on the Word of God.